All right, so we're recording. Get set up still, putting in the headphone jack. We're back. For the first time ever, we're back. Tina has a quip for you.
Coming to you live from the great indoors.
From the great indoors, folks. That's right. You heard it correctly. We have a tent set up in our office, in the house, in a space far too small for a tent. It's filled with blankets, covered in a sheet as a soundproof barrier. You can hear swishing. Oh, in a tent, just like camping. The hardest part of setting it up was putting the pegs in the ground.
Yeah. It's a good thing that you didn't pierce any windows, walls, or IMAX screens.
Yeah, the poles for the tent were very, very long. They're way longer than the tent is big. You forget that till they're bent down.
Yeah.
But when I had to hammer the pegs into the floor, that definitely was the hardest part of setting up the tent.
Yeah, we're not going to get that back. How's your quarantine going?
Oh, my quarantine... It's going okay. It's going okay. What have I taken up? I've taken up, like, drumming. I've started drumming a lot more. And I've also started to...
That's not good. You gotta get comfortable.
Well, I've been reading a little bit, but I'm also getting kind of like... I need a break from reading. I need to find something else. I learned to tie a new knot today.
Really?
Yep.
What kind of knot?
Oh, I was afraid you'd ask that. It's called a sheet slip? No. A sheet something. Not a sheet pull. Yeah, because it's not a knot. It's a pull. Yeah, it is a sheet pull.
That sounds right.
I think it's a sheet pull. Yep, it's a good knot. Super easy. First one in the book. Got it. How's your quarantine going?
It's pretty good. Day two of not working because I got laid off.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I finished painting the doors today for the house, front and back door.
Nice. On the second day of quarantine, my true love gave to me.
Two painted doors.
And granola that is very crunchy.
That's right. So yesterday I made granola. It's almost gone.
Tina's being great. She's on quarantine and she's doing the 12 days of quarantine. I don't know how many days she'll do, but it started out as the 12 days of quarantine.
That's the goal.
There's nice little notes on things when I come home. It's pretty fun. I can't wait till the third day of quarantine.
Yeah, it's a good way for me to keep my brain thinking and thinking about creativity and things I can be doing. While also like surprising you at the end of your day and also getting things done and doing things and not just like reading and sleeping and whatever. So it's been good. My list of COVID 2020 things to do if I get bored has been really helpful.
Yeah. Day five is going to be, I kept the bed warm all day.
No, it's gonna be like day 30.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. We're in it for the long haul, I think. What else? One thing I've done, is I sent a few letters to some people and, it's just a good reason to send letters, you know, cause I think I've wanted to send letters for a while to folks and every now and then I get like a little spell of letter writing and now I just had a good reason to do it. So,
and for something that takes usually like a couple hours to sit and like write a good letter to somebody, we have all kinds of time. So now's the greatest time to do it.
You can really sit down and grind out a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And postal workers are still going, so you can still mail it.
Yep. Don't talk to them, though. Nope. Stay away from them. They're going to everybody's house. Mm-hmm. Super spreaders. Speaking of writing letters, I have a guest who we could try and bring into this conversation.
Sure.
Another person checking in with a friend here at COVID 2020. Let's see if he picks up. His name is Jeremy. I'm gonna put him on speakerphone.
Hello?
Jeremy?
Back.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Katina, how are you?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Doing all right.
Uh-oh, you fell off speaker. You're back. You're doing all right.
Oh, yeah, you got quiet for a moment.
Yeah, no, our speaker, I hit the speaker button by accident. Hey, we're calling to you live from our new podcast called The Great Indoors for now, but I'm sure that's already a podcast.
I don't know. That's a great title. If not, I'm glad to be on this show if that's the title.
Yeah, so who are you?
I'm Jeremy.
That's it. That's all you need to know, folks. That's Jeremy. Anything else about yourself to introduce yourself to the gang? We haven't really given you an intro yet. We don't have an intro for your Jeremy segments.
So do I do my own intro, or do you guys do my intro?
Well, okay, we're going to help. So Tina's going to say some stuff, then I'll say some stuff, and then you can be the closer.
Well, I'll say some stuff.
Okay. Yeah, so we met Jeremy, I think, through the outdoor school in Guam.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And we kind of just have known each other for a number of years. Lots of different hangouts in downtown Guelph.
Yeah, I can say that I have never known Jeremy to have much facial hair at the same time. And he's always been a solid guy to sit on the porch with and have a deep chat. And hey, he can even throw a mean frisbee.
Yeah, I've been working on that.
Yep.
I don't know that I'll be working on it right now, but
Tough days, eh? You're not even allowed to throw a frisbee to someone these days.
No, not indoors, but I do a skipping rope. That's like a sport I can do in the house. My neighbor probably isn't a fan, but...
The downstairs guy.
Yeah, he gotta stay fit, though.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what else to add to that. I think pretty good intro.
What is your job?
I am a public school teacher in Guelph.
Oh, my.
Teach grade 5.
And, so are you laid off technically, or what's your situation as a teacher?
We're not laid off. The schools are closed this week and next officially. And then on the following Monday, I believe that's April 5th or 6th, not sure. We're not expected to reopen, but nothing official has been announced. The premier said the other day that it's not likely we're going to be back.
What do you think of all that?
It's weird. You know, like I'm in support of it. I was doing a lot of reading about this before it became a global thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people were still kind of murmuring about it, I was, you know, seeing it move. My friend had told me about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, told me about it. And he's like, what are you doing to prepare for this thing? And I was like, oh, that thing that I heard about in China in like January? He's like, yeah, it's actually happening, man. You better get prepared. Hmm. So I started to, you know, look online quite often about it, almost to the point of paranoia, and people thought I was just going overboard. But when they were saying in Italy it's time to shut down, and then when, you know, I heard in Seattle it was like a ghost town, and
so
I thought, wow, we're going to be shutting down. And I was at my mom's house getting her ready, just buying loads of stuff, and, you know, that's before everyone else started. And while we were doing that, they shut down public schools in Ontario.
Wow.
And so I was like, look, see, I'm not crazy. This is a thing we all, I'm not the only one now. So roundabout way of saying I'm in full support of all shutdowns. I understand it's really hard for people financially, right?
Yeah.
So how do you balance this thing? You know, how do you balance a shutdown with public safety? And also while keeping the economy alive, it's such a juggle.
Yeah. And then the question of priorities and everything.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting. I had to explain to my students because we were told on the Thursday we'd be closed. So I still had Friday with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, what's going to happen to places that we like? Like they wanted to know about stores and movie theaters. And like, are these places going to close? And they're like, what if the school goes out of business? So I had to try and explain to them that the school's not a business. Like, we're going to be okay. We'll reopen.
What do they think you sell? What do you think the kids think you sell?
So that's the thing. I was like, that's what I said to them. It's like, we don't sell anything here. We train people to, you know, be employees in the future at a job that they choose. That was a really interesting conversation to have with them. And even talking about it now, I just miss them. I miss these conversations.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With humans in person.
Yeah, like I used to be surrounded by, you know, there's 24 in my room. I was with those 24 individuals for a full day every day. And then within the building, there's about 600 people, right? So I went from 600 people in my life a day to zero. Like, yeah. I live alone. So it's, you know, aside from phone contact and, you know, like when I go to the store once a week, there's not much else happening.
You making any videos for these kids online?
No, I'm not. One teacher has put together a music video and she wants me to be in it, but
you can't do that. You gotta be far away.
So no, it's like we all send in a clip of us singing along to the same song, and then she's gonna edit it and put it together.
What's the song?
It's a song she wrote during quarantine, like a school theme song.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your school mascot?
A diamondback.
A diamondback? A rattlesnake?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. Most of the schools I've worked at, it's been like a gator or a bear, which are all right, but a diamondback is next level.
That's the gateway gator.
That's badass.
Is that the gateway gator?
Yeah. That's right.
That's where I went. I went to Gateway.
Now all your listeners are going to know where I've worked.
Gateway in, you already did say where you're from. You said you're from Guelph.
Yeah, it's all right. Someone wants to look me up. I guess they can.
Who's the Bears? Who's the Bears in Guelph?
That's Brant Ave.
Oh, you know what? I got to say, Gateway's soccer team could crush Brant Ave's soccer team. I think we got to get into, like, primary school sports up here in Canada.
What about the Ottawa Crescent Wildcats?
Well, who are the Wildcats going to draft next year? What? They're not even trying. Their French program sucks.
They don't have a French program.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who's going to go to that school? They're not going to get any talent that way.
Actually, they might now.
Is that how you win grade 6 soccer?
They had to rebrand.
Yeah, they're not drawing anyone in. I think primary soccer has been closed. I think the tryouts are canceled.
Yeah.
On cbc.ca, yeah.
It's all over. We're going to have a fantasy league.
Yeah. Well, they postponed the Olympics, too. Like, there's nothing going on.
No, it's, you know, my students really... On the Wednesday before the school closure, I had a couple boys in my room just frantic that the NBA was closed.
No, yeah, it is.
That was the, you know, everyone has their moment, and that's like a conversation. It was a big Reddit thread.
Yep.
Like, what's your moment when you realize this was real? And their moment was when the NBA closed.
Yeah. There was a group of kids at the high school. I go to a high school on Thursdays at lunch, and there was a whole table, like 10 boys, just like all on different phones and just like looking up every 5 seconds and going, oh, so-and-so's got it. They tested the Jazz, some other team. The Vancouver Grizzlies, I think, aren't playing anymore. It's a mess.
Yeah, I don't know. It is a big mess. I was talking to someone yesterday and we're picturing the future, the near future of sports. It's probably going to be like two teams playing without an audience.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, but then all those people on those teams, all those people on those teams have to be quarantined, and then all their staff, and like that's like, you know, 100 people.
Yeah, but as we come out of this, not that we're near that point yet.
Yeah.
You know, my friend and I were just kind of hypothetical talking.
They could keep ping pong going.
Oh yeah, 6 foot table. Or, yeah, the table's 6 feet, right?
Yeah, it's like 8 feet, man. That thing's like maybe 8 by 5 or something.
I tell you, if that ball goes past me, I'm not picking it up off the floor.
No. New ball every time. When a ball hits the floor, step on it, break it so it can never be used again.
Yeah, new ball, and I want a brand new paddle out of the package.
Every game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't reuse them. Or no, they just get like Lysol'd hard, I think, like a bowling shoe.
And every competitor has to wear a face mask and gloves.
Yeah.
Goggles.
Yo, and goggles. They could also keep darts alive. Like, you could still play darts on TV, right?
Yeah, you're going to get your own darts out of the board, and then you're good.
Yeah.
And broadcast from your house.
Yeah. We could do live dart tournaments. We got bowling could still happen, but different guys are on different lanes.
Huh.
Yeah, you could just be two lanes apart. Like, leave one in the middle.
That's it.
Yeah. It's called that's our future, right? Like,
three lane bowling.
Three-lane bowling for two participants.
Yeah, on TV. But it would be so much faster because they wouldn't have to wait each other's turns. It'd be like watching watch like four curling games at once.
Also, golf. Yeah. Golf could happen.
Golf is easy, man. Let that happen. No one's out there.
You just can't go in a foursome. You're just in a onesome.
Yeah, you run the course and then some guy's behind you.
Shotgun start.
Yeah.
Shotgun start for four guys.
Who's behind this? We need to have these things starting to happen.
Yeah, we need the Coronavirus Sports Association.
That's us.
We'll call it the Corona League.
Yeah, we're the pioneers of the Corona League.
Yeah. I wouldn't say pioneers, though.
Hmm. No, why not?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, people are sensitive.
And this is where other things that aren't usually sports become sports, like puzzle building. You just watch somebody build their puzzle.
Yeah. We could do like
long. Yeah, you know what I would watch? If they had a screen split into four and four people in their houses doing the exact same puzzle and it was just real time and it was a race.
Whoa. And you could live stream it.
Yeah. And you'd see the strategies. You've got the people who go like the edge strategy, and the people who just abandon that and go for the colors.
That's a strategy? The colors? Whoa. I'm an edge guy all the way.
Yeah, you got to build the border.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of puzzles with my friend's kid, who's about 2.5, and she does not have any interest in the edge pieces in any way. Like, they mean nothing to her compared to the other pieces.
Mm. I guess the edge is a guaranteed win, though, you know? Like, you're always going to figure out the edge first. Maybe that's why people go for it first, because it's easy. But if you start from the inside and go out, you never get that thing where you got a mess, and then you can't move the edge.
That's right.
Hmm.
Yep. The edge is security, the containment, right?
Think outside the edge.
You got the edge.
It's called Outside the Edge Puzzle League.
There's puzzles that have been made with no edge. So they just cut every piece as like a, you know, four-sided jigsaw piece. And then you have to do it like that.
You ever heard of a schmuzzle puzzle?
What's a schmuzzle puzzle?
A schmuzzle puzzle is where it's a picture, but all the pieces are the exact same shape. So they all fit together. And sometimes it's not even an image. It's just like a pattern. It's just like...
Oh, man, that just schmuzzles you.
It's a schmuzzle puzzle. Yeah. Do you have the Rolo Puzz?
No, my mom does, though.
Well, that's a woman. That's a committed woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the puzzling.
She's loyal to the game.
Yeah.
You can also use a yoga mat. Life hack.
Oh yeah. But then you gotta choose between yoga and puzzle, and I feel like after a solid few hours of puzzling, you really go and do that yoga.
Yoga puzzling. Yoga puzzling. Yoga and puzzles at the same time. It can be done.
I don't know.
It can be done.
I don't think that'll get approved by the council here. The COVID League Council.
Well, we're going to have to go to the council then. Anyway, so what are you doing to cope at home?
I've been doing to cope at home. Well, there's two styles of day that I've been having. There are days where I wake up, like, without an alarm, and I don't shower, and I play video games, my kitchen's a mess, and I don't have any, like, real sustained focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, check Facebook... You know, maybe have some food, talk to someone on the phone. And those days are few, and I've not enjoyed them. They're just kind of like, it's like being a teenager again.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a hotbed for misery or something. Like, there's no stimulation. Like, it doesn't feel good, and there's no way you could do multiple of them and be healthy. Mm-hmm. So what I've started doing is, like, getting up with an alarm, like, reading before I do anything else. You know, have a little snack, do yoga, call my mom, and then I get outside for a hike. So
that's awesome.
That's like the line I'm drawing is like, I'm not going to go hang out with people. I'm not going downtown. I'm just getting out of town, going alone to these places I know, and I'm going to take in a big hike and just seeing, you know, how long I can go for it. Like, I'm healthy. There's no reason to not be outside.
Mm-hmm.
Got any good birds up there?
What's that?
Got any good bird action up there?
Yeah, I was down at Lake Ontario the other day, and there's this island with all these like lumps in the trees that I figured out were nests.
Are they cormorants?
Yeah, yeah. And then I went back a week later, and now every nest is full with a cormorant.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So saw a lot of hawks coming back, like pairs of red-tailed hawks kind of flying around together.
Wow. That's cool.
I saw a bald eagle the other day down at Mountsburg.
In Mountsburg?
Yeah, before they closed it, I was down there because it's not far from here.
Yeah.
So I was down in the reservoir there and I saw Baldy.
Any good ducks on the river by you?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like I said, I haven't been going downtown much.
Yeah.
So I'm not on that footbridge or anything. But where was I? I was somewhere. Oh, it was down by the lake. Lots of those kind of underwater birds, like the ducks that go under and hunt and then pop back up. I think they're maybe called buffleheads.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're black and white.
Yeah, little tiny things.
They're small. Yeah, they're called buffleheads. They're great.
Yeah, and some, you know, there's some mergansers around.
Yeah.
The red-winged blackbirds are here in full force. Just, like, you can hear them outside just constantly.
The reddies.
Yeah. So migration's happening. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of exciting, right? Like, spring is happening outside, even if we're not out there to see it so much.
Yeah.
There's flowers. I saw coltsfoot yesterday for the first time and some skunk cabbage coming up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just a really exciting time for anyone who likes to be outdoors and can actually be outdoors, right?
I had a, so we got the park here, right? We're near Point Pelee National Park. And so it's a big bird, bird mecca. And I did something I'm not supposed to do the other day. I went off trail.
Oh, don't say that on air.
Okay, I went off trail.
You have to edit this.
Now, I'll tell you the truth, though. I stayed on, like, deer paths, so there was already a treaded space. Okay, so...
Are you a deer?
Yeah. Oh, dear. I'm not. No. So, I may have committed a sin, but it was for rest and relaxation purposes. So, walking this trail, though, I came to a place where obviously, like, the park staff have been piling, like, dead brush. Like, huge, massive piles of, like, sticks, and then they'd have other piles of kind of larger logs. And then ATV tracks and stuff back there. So it was like a serviced area, but it just was supposed to be closed. But I found it. Anyway, I heard this really interesting bird song I never heard before and followed it and found two, one kind of closer to me, one really far away. I didn't know what they were. They were about the size of a robin with a dark brown black head, a red side, and then a really white belly. And a neat song. So it's a, I learned it's an Eastern Towhee.
Oh.
Have you ever seen one of these?
Bird names I've heard, but I've never actually seen.
It's so neat.
You know? I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, and then we did a walk at the marsh, and we saw a lot of buffleheads and a lot of ringneck ducks, which I'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm. And we heard an owl, but we couldn't find it.
We could hear an owl hoo-hooing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we also heard two, what are they called? Sandhill cranes?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of crazy, that sound they make,
right?
Oh,
my gosh. They sound like dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. My friend, when I first heard it, called it reptilian.
Yeah.
Like, the perfect way to describe it. It's almost like a raptor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, in like when they make those screams. Yeah, totally is. And it's so loud. So when we got to the – we knew where they were, but then when we went over there, they had they'd flown off like as we were coming around, and so we saw them up in the sky. But it was awesome. Saw a lot of bald eagle action down here too.
Yeah, it's more common down for you guys, right?
There's a couple nesting sites close by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have nest cams?
I don't know if there's any nest cams here. I don't.
Pretty entertaining.
Just Google that maybe. But. Yeah, it is happening. Spring's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the national park is closed right now. So it's not, I don't know, they've closed all the parking lots. So I guess you could ride a bicycle into there and have no problem.
Yeah. So, like, what do you, you know, there's a moral line you're crossing when you do that, right? Like, they've asked you to stay out. Do you go in anyway?
No. The park's closed because, like, they just closed all the facilities. So you can actually still enter the park.
Oh, okay. But Oh, I didn't know.
They're just trying to limit vehicle traffic.
Yeah, so if you walk in or bike in, it's cool. But you can't take a car in and park somewhere and use the bathroom and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, a friend of mine was at a conservation area locally, and it was all shut down, and there were warnings of fines of thousands of dollars if you got caught.
Wow.
So I thought that's what you were saying the national parks were doing too, but it's different level of intensity there.
Can you tell us the name of the park where your friend was?
Part of the GRCA.
Oh.
In Cambridge. I think Shades Mill.
Yeah.
That's right, like right in Cambridge area, like
That's like right after Hespler there toward Paris?
That's what I think, yeah. Sort of between the 401 and Paris.
They have animal enclosures and stuff in there.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have deer. They have deer enclosures, like pretty big enough. Oh, deer and peacock and stuff like that. Like, you know, strange combos, but they got them.
Oh, yeah. That's odd. It's a weird thing.
I think another weird combo is when you can get fries at KFC.
Oh, yeah, or Dairy Queen.
Ugh. Ugh.
Came here with cold things.
Yeah, Dairy Queen. We now have burgers. What? Ugh.
This isn't Burger Queen.
Yeah, what is this, Burger King? No, Dairy Queen. It's different. Just let it be different. Right. But then at the same time, then you got to make a rule that Burger King can't sell ice cream and neither can McDonald's.
Right. What's the place with the Frosties?
Wendy's. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that like one of their big things?
I think so.
Oh, man, talking about takeout, no, this is a bad call. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole of wanting this and not...
To get a chocolate Frosty with fries.
Oh, man.
Yeah, those do go together.
They do need to go together. A Frosty needs fries. But only I get a small fry and just kind of, like, dip some of the fries in it, and then I'll just eat the rest of the frosting on its own. But they do go together.
I'll tell you what. When this is all over, we'll meet up at a Wendy's and we'll get this.
In London. We'll go to London, Ontario. It's in the middle.
Nice.
Yeah, it's the middle of us, isn't it?
Yeah.
All of this talk got me thinking about Dairy Freeze, which is a place near here. And it's like a drive-up, like old kind of diner-y looking thing. So you can either stay in your car and they'll come out and take your order and serve you, or you can go up to the window and order like ice cream and food and stuff. And they close in the winter. And so I'm just thinking, I wonder if they'll actually open in the spring, because they could technically come out to your car and take your order.
Ooh.
Like, if, you know, I mean, this is probably still months down the road, but if some services are allowed to open a little bit or whatever, it'd be really nice, because I always look forward to when that opens again. Because they're also open till like midnight and 2 a.m. or like the crazy, crazy hours in the summer. Okay.
And they have a big grass field in the back, so you can go play frisbee.
Ooh.
Yeah. And their ice cream is so good.
I can see them opening up again. Like, lots of places, like A&W and all those places are still open on the strip here in town. So I don't think everything needs to close right now. And I imagine in a few months, things will be opening up again slowly. Who knows?
What's the name of that thing that you got there last year, Zach? That, like, milkshake thing?
It's called a Boston Cooler. You ever heard of that?
No.
It's like a soft serve milkshake, but instead of milk, they put root beer in it.
No, it's...
Oh, no, they put ginger ale.
It's Verner's.
Verner's ginger ale.
It's really gingery.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's basically just a bomb of sugar.
Right. You have one a summer, not every day.
No, so here's what I did last year, because I'm so smart. So I thought, oh, man, why go all the way out to Dairy Freeze, which is like two towns over in a place called Cottam.
It's in Cottam.
And I gotta go all the way there. No thanks. What I'm going to do is go to the grocery store and buy a liter of ice cream or two. And then I'll just buy a case of ginger beer, and then I'll just have it whenever I want. And, oh, that was so stupid. For some reason, I thought, I don't know what tricked me. I thought, it's healthier if I make my own, and it's not a freaking sugar on top of sugar blended together.
It's cheaper if you make your own.
Oh, it's cheaper.
Oh, yeah, you can have way more.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need that 20-minute drive distance to prevent us from going.
How's your diet over all this COVID?
It's doing all right. Like, I wouldn't say I'm missing anything. I went without bananas and avocados for like more time than usual, but really nothing else.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is a bit of awareness in like, you know, if I eat this half of this avocado right now, that means no avocado tomorrow, and I'm not going to the store for 4 more days.
Right.
You know, so I'm more conscious about my portions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's about it for me in terms of my diet. It's not, not weighing on me too much.
Yeah, I don't know if, I don't know what my problem is, but I'm, like, jonesing so hard for junk food.
So what's, you're just not going to go get it? Like, is that...
Well, yeah, I'm not. We're trying to basically eat our whole kitchen right now. Like, we want to empty the fridge, I think, is kind of our aim. And our freezer's got a ton of stuff in it. Like, we've got a roast in there. We've got a box of pierogies in there. We've got some frozen burritos. Those are junk food, but I know if I eat those now, I don't have them for a meal later.
That's the thing, right? You can't eat this now because you know you won't have it later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
We ate the last of our fresh fruit today.
Yeah, we ate the last kiwi this evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you know it's time to start thinking about that store run, right?
Well, we got a squash. We still have a squash. We still have a bag of potatoes. We have onions.
We have peppers and broccoli. Well,
that's soup right there.
We've got vegetables. Yeah, we've got a lot of vegetables in the fridge, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just, you probably do frozen berries. We still have yogurt.
Yep.
We're running low on milk. We're down to almond milk, I think.
Fresh out of cow's milk, just almond milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what you guys need? It's just a cow.
Straight up, get some chickens. Oh, maybe this will allow us to. Do you think this will be good or bad for the neighborhood chicken industry?
I don't think it'll impact it much. I mean, chickens tend to just scraps and grass, right?
Yeah, I wonder if people, because this is like, if it as an overcorrective, if people freak out about livestock.
Oh.
Because some people already think having chickens is disgusting.
Right. But I wonder about people who see the benefit of having chickens, maybe wanting chickens, now that, you know, it's like, hey, I can get eggs without going to the store if I had a chicken.
Yeah. I don't think that I can have chickens in this town. Can we, Gina?
I don't think so.
See, my problem is I've lived in Guelph so long, I think that what we do here is just considered normal everywhere.
Yeah.
Because we're a backyard chicken town.
Yeah.
But surrounding towns aren't.
Yeah. That's how we feel. And we have a spot between our garage and our shed. We could technically hide them there.
We have an awesome chicken backyard.
So it's kind of like, well, we could just ask forgiveness.
Yeah.
I will give you free eggs if you do not tell the mayor.
Yeah,
you can bribe a lot of people with eggs, and not many. Like, if you say eggs when you swing by, then I'd say yes. I'd take that bribe.
Mm-hmm.
And we really only have, like, one neighbor, maybe two, that we'd have to, that would see it.
So your neighbors are concerned?
Well, no, like, they would see the coop.
And but they're not necessarily people who would have a problem with the coop?
I don't think so. We'd have to give them hush eggs, for sure.
Yeah.
Hush eggs, I love it.
Yeah.
I could really go for a bag of mini eggs.
Did you have any plans that got side-railed or railroaded or sidetracked? I don't know.
Couldn't happen.
Camping trips or whatnot?
Well, I mean, aside from, like, working, you know?
Yeah.
No big plans, like, you know, the daily things like gym and going out for drinks and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. I was going to go to a Pearl Jam concert over March break.
Whoa.
But, you know, it's all good. I was already planning to not go when I was hearing about this stuff and talking to the people who had tickets. And I said, hey, I'm a little concerned about this virus. And that's when people were like, well, you know, like, we'll see. We'll just be careful. And then by the time the concert rolled around, they canceled it.
Mm.
So, but it's all good. I was listening to some Pearl Jam today, new album tomorrow.
Mm.
Kind of exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I really miss the gym. You mentioned the gym a minute ago.
Yeah.
I miss the gym.
It's hard, right? You know what? I'm telling you, yoga and hiking. Like, I'm I didn't do either today because my body's just sore. I've been doing so much of both that I need a day off.
That's great.
So you throw in your bike ride or your skipping or whatever for your cardio, and then you've got, you know, a decent, like, it's like a fitness program, but not like a actual gym program where you're putting on weight or anything.
Yeah.
But it's enough, right? What else can you do unless you have a home gym set up?
Yeah.
Which I do not.
I rode my skateboard to work the other day.
What's that like?
It's way harder than it used to be. Like, I'm out of breath. I need a break yeah. halfway there. Like, my leg, my ankles are locked up. Like, it's just muscles I haven't used for years. I used to skateboard every day.
It's a young man's game, right?
It's a young man's game. It's hard to get into again.
No offense.
None taken.
And it's flat here, so you don't have any hills to, like, ride down and get you any momentum.
Yeah, but hiking here is...
Yeah.
But no, wait, I know where the bad roads are, and there's one really nice road basically all the way to the office, all the way to the church. Hiking here is really difficult because it's flat, deforested land, and we don't have, like, hiking trails. You get more, like, walking trails, flat trails, okay. like rail trail type situations. But, you know, the whole Guelph hiking scene is great. Compared to
yeah, when you're away from it, you notice it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far do you guys have to drive for decent trails?
We haven't done that yet.
We haven't even tried because it's like at least an hour.
Mm. Yeah, you got to make a day trip if you're driving an hour.
Yeah, the thing down here would be water, right? Like, we can go to Rondeau Provincial Park. We can go to Wheatley Provincial Park. We can go to Point Pelee National Park. And they're kind of like bird hotspots or, you know, beaches. But as far as trails, everything's so flat. It's just not interesting hiking at all.
Yeah, it doesn't push you, right?
Yeah, even like, or it's not even like pushes you. I mean, here, if you want to push, you got to go. It's about distance. You just got to, like, I'm gonna go 30 kilometers or something. But, mm-hmm. yeah. Biking's pretty good out here because it's flat. You're just in the wind all the time.
So much wind. Right. It's crazy.
Yeah, always a headwind.
Yep, no matter which way you turn.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your situation? Are you guys working?
I got laid off 2 days ago. I work for a charity. That has global projects. So they basically, because I'm one of the managers at a thrift store. And, you know, we're part of social enterprise that makes money for the larger organization. And with all of this happening, they made the decision to close the store to the public, to discourage people from coming in and shopping. And, you know, so we as a staff worked for a week after that, and then they kind of just, the leadership was looking at the money and saying, like, we have to still support all of these global programs that we have committed funds to. So they tried really hard to avoid it, but they made the decision to lay off 65 people. So I'm kind of, you know, in limbo for a little while and hoping we get called back sooner rather than later, but we don't know. So
yeah, thanks a lot of that, right?
Sorry?
There's a lot of that. There's,
yeah.
You know, everyone kind of is in limbo right now.
Yeah. So I'm trying to have, like, a good morning routine as well, where I, like, get up, have coffee, have a bit of breakfast, and make sure that I go for a jog before I shower so that, like, it doesn't matter what time I get up. If I am jogging at 9 or 10 or 11, doesn't matter. Like, just go do it so that at least I get a good start with some energy to my day and keep moving.
Do you see a lot of people out there in the neighborhood?
Yeah. Lots of kids now that the weather's warmer.
Lots of kids, yeah.
Like, people walking their dogs or walking around. Like, I'll probably... Like, I'm not going for a long distance, so mm-hmm. in the, like, 15 or 20 minutes that I'm going out right now, probably see, like, 10 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Because I go through town, so.
Jeremy, is Guelph considered a high-risk area?
Things are changing.
Hmm.
We've got our, like, first cases coming in, and they said there's a, I don't know the wording of it, 4 people in 1 ward, and the hospital got it. And that just came out today, like just right before I spoke to you guys. I saw that in Guelph today on the website.
Mm-hmm. We're still considered a low risk area. So the entire county, basically from like Wheatley to Windsor, which is, I don't know, a bit more than an hour across, I guess, is 4 cases in the whole area confirmed. But I've been talking to people in town who say, like, they've heard of friends who definitely have it, but they're not getting tested because it's just obvious, it's confirmed that they have it.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing, right? Is you don't, like, the numbers are jumping up across the country, but that's because they're doing more testing. Of course the numbers will jump if we have it and then we're getting tested for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But before the testing, the numbers couldn't go up because there's no way to confirm it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So from, I don't know the dates exactly, but from, it was a Sunday night to like the whole week and then 2 more days, I was off work. So I missed 7 days of work plus a weekend at the start of March. And it was like the worst I had ever felt. I had fever and I was just exhausted and achy and just like, it was really something.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, I was emailing with my doctor and he's like, yeah, it sounds like you have a flu. And, you know, and I got, I went to a walk-in clinic. Like I called telehealth and they said, you should go see a doctor because you've had a fever for 3 days. So I went in and it was totally empty, which is weird. The walk-in clinic is always busy here. And it was totally empty. I walked right in. They didn't screen me or anything. The receptionist asked if I had been out of Canada. That was it. And the doctor just said, nope, you just have a flu, go on home. You know, and that was it. So I could have had it. The theory I'm hoping is that I had it and now I'm past it, but I don't, you know, I'm still being super cautious.
Yeah.
But
wow.
It's hard to say, you know, who has it. So many people are asymptomatic and so many people are not needing the clinical help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we have a screening center in Guelph right beside the hospital at a dedicated building. And you're only supposed to go if you are showing symptoms. But since so many symptoms are in line with the cold and the flu, people don't know whether to go or not.
And people are afraid.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go if I felt like I was super sick. I wouldn't want to leave here because that risks the people in my home.
You're pretty considerate. Like you're a considerate guy, but I think there's a lot of people who they'll get a scratch in their throat and they'll go, I got COVID, I gotta go get tested.
Yeah, I think the time when you think you might have it is when your breathing is compromised and your fever is not breaking.
Yeah.
And you're really concerned for your personal safety. I think that's the time to like really amp it up and go get help.
Yeah.
Because they can't handle everyone who's got a cold or a scratchy throat to go in and see them.
Yeah.
It's just a terrifying time to be sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like, you know, I'll be driving and I'll be worried about like a car accident because it's like the last place I want to end up is the hospital.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. Like, you know, what if you get a flat tire and you can't change it and you've got to call for help and then you're with someone, like maybe you get a ride back to town or whatever. Like there's all these funny little situations where you could end up in where you don't want to be in right now.
Yep, yep.
You know, it's like basically any interaction with anyone, even a loved one, is really tricky because, you know, one person's leaving the house, the other one isn't, then that person who's going in and out is a risk factor.
Yep.
It's both the best and worst time to be single. That's what I've learned in the past 2 weeks. Because I just have my own... I just look after myself. I don't have to worry about people coming and going. I was speaking to a guy at the LCBO, like the guy who works there.
Yeah.
When I went in a few days ago, and he's like, yeah, when I get home, my wife makes me like just strip off at the door, straight to the shower.
Yeah, I had, I work with a woman whose husband is in construction, and they are building a greenhouse currently. And the deal for them is he gets home, gets in the garage, takes his clothes off in the garage, uses a Lysol wipe, which she sets out for him before he gets there. He wipes off his hands, wipes off his face and all that, opens the door with the Lysol wipe, goes inside where there's another Lysol wipe waiting. He wipes the doorknob, goes to the basement where there's a third Lysol wipe on their wash machine, puts his laundry in the wash machine and starts the machine with the Lysol wipe, takes a shower in the basement, and then gets dressed with clothes that are set out for him, and then he can come upstairs and see his family. Wow. Yeah. So I heard that, and I said, that sounds nuts. And then she says that they got that from, that's how nurses are doing it when they go home.
Mm. Yeah, that's like medical professionals are doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen things about washing your food and like, you know, like when you get home, you should just leave stuff out for a few days. If you can't disinfect it, you just leave it out for a few days to hopefully kill the virus, right? Like, the letter you sent me, Zach, I got it 2 days ago, and I didn't tell you because I'm letting it quarantined at the bottom of my stairs.
Oh, shoot. Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. I was like, why didn't you read it yet? You told me I got your letter. I didn't read it. It's like, why? Yeah. I love reading letters. Why would you wait? But you're quarantining it. Yeah. That's smart. Just Lysol it, dog. Oh, by the way, I sent it to you. I sent that thing to you like way before this started. But so
postal workers and people have touched it. Postal
worker.
Yeah.
It's anything I'm getting, like I ordered some stuff online, and you know, I just bring it in and set it inside and leave it, or I take it out of the package and you know, then throw the package out right away.
Then you're washing your hands.
So I wash my hands like a surgeon.
I have never washed my hands this much since that time I dug up a cat turd in the sand pit in the fourth grade.
Right. Yeah, this is it's just intense. I watched a video, a surgeon taught me how to do it on this video. Like, wow, I'm dedicated. And I've devised all these strategies for eating. Have you been doing this?
Strategies for eating? Yeah, eat everything. That's my strategy.
Like, what I'll do is I'm having taco salad tonight, right? So I'll have a bowl with like my rice and everything and salsa and all that. And then I'll have I'll have a bowl of nachos on the side. So I get it all set up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wash my hands like crazy. I've already washed my hands to prepare, right?
Did you wash your hands before this phone call?
Not directly before the phone call. I knew I'd be picking up the phone.
All right,
so what you do is like you use utensils and like you lift things with one hand only. Like say I want to get my Netflix going, push play up there. I use my right hand. I keep my left hand totally sterile, and that's the eating hand. Like that's what I'm doing. So, like, I'm not moving my bowl with my right hand. I'm not adjusting the chair with my right hand or my left hand. You know, you got to keep it separated.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, drinking from the clean cup with my clean hand.
Whoa,
that's really diligent.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's so funny because the last guy I called a guy yesterday, a friend from Waterloo, and for whatever reason, he was telling me about I think it was Sri Lanka. Forgive me if that's the wrong country, but he was telling me about a place where they use their left hand as that's what they wipe their ass with. So they never use their left hand for anything except for that and maybe some other unclean tasks, I guess. But now you're doing it.
Well, I didn't consider that exact action, but
yeah, I wouldn't try that. But if the toilet paper situation goes the way people thought it would go, we might have to all stop touching things with our left hands.
Unless you're left-handed.
But then you can't be trusted.
I just use my right hand.
Oh, I hit my breaking point the other day. Like, you know, when you're online and you're looking, you know, you're finding out what's going on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
One of the headlines on Facebook was Costco refusing refunds on toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to be kidding me. You guys who went in there and made a big stink getting all this toilet paper, now you want to return it? Come on.
Yep.
Wow.
Come on. You bought it. You wipe your ass with it.
Yep.
It's yours.
There's a video of a guy who did the math on how many shits it would take to go through a Costco thing of toilet paper. And it's like 1,200 shits.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
No, sorry. It's like 100 and I think it's 120 or something. But there's like 1,200 sheets. And he did it. If you use 20 sheets of toilet paper per shit, you would still be able to take 116 shits every day for the 14-day quarantine period.
Wow. Oh my god.
Yeah. It's some good math. That's a lot. That's like the most useful application for math that I've seen for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
other than telling us how fast this disease is spreading.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're hitting about 50 minutes here, and it's been good talking to you, man.
Yeah, you too. And Katina as well. I don't really, you and I catch up on the phone once in a while, but I don't usually get to talk with Katina. So kind of nice to catch up.
It's been awesome.
Is there anything you want to let us know about? How's your book going?
I haven't been writing at all. It's weird. Like, I don't have any desire to. I think it's just, there's no creative energy.
Mm.
I feel preoccupied with fear and anxiety. And just kind of like taking care of body, right? Like the yoga, the hiking,
that stuff.
Like, I just don't want to sit still. I can't even read right now. Like, I have no interest in reading, which is really weird for me, right? To not read or write. But I think I just, it's hard to sit still and focus on those things right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll get to it, I think. It depends how long this goes, right?
This could go for a while.
I made a joke with a friend because I was reading like a year and a half before vaccine, right? So I was walking with my friend. She's got a husband and two kids, and they're kind of, the kids are 2.5 and 6 months. So these guys are like struggling. They're locked in the house.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... So I was like, well, we just handled week 2 of 75. I think we're going to be, we'll get through this. And she like just about cried. She was like, don't say that to me. And I was like, it's more than 2%. Come on.
That's true. It's great stuff.
Yeah, it's tough. I think I've seen some positives. There's a lot of silver linings, right? Like,
there's tons.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, you think about the silver linings right now. I'm healthy and a lot of people are still healthy and a lot of people are doing their part to stay home and flatten the curve, right? Like, there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing it right, this could be a time for self-care and like time to work on your relationship with your family or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time to start like a meditation practice or, you know, this is like, there's a huge amount of things you could do, when you stay home all day, every day.
And you have to, right? That's the thing. I think we're gonna have to fight our way through. You got to fight through boredom, I think, because boredom is like a force.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it only goes, like, Netflix only gets you so far. Like, there's only so many easy options, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you can watch a few series here and there, but like, that's not going to carry you very long.
Yeah. I learned a new knot today.
That's sweet. Yeah, I got my knot book out last week.
You did? You got any good knots? What's your favorite? What's your go-to knot?
I've been just staring at the picture of the monkey's fist.
Oh, and God. Just
staring for hours, like trying to decipher this thing.
That's a 4-star difficulty.
Yeah, I know, but why start at the bottom? It's not like...
for like, some easy wins, buddy.
But it's not like you do... difficulty 1 and 2 and 3 and then you get to that one. Like, every knot is different, right?
Well, yeah, but I'm just getting, I'm like shit with rope anyway, so I'm just trying to get my hands around a rope a little bit more.
I've learned with camping with my brother, if you can work with rope, you can like, you can withstand a rainstorm and have a nice comfortable fire going.
Hmm.
But if you're not good with rope, you can't do that. Like, the make or break thing. Tarps and everything like that, and it's good stuff.
What do you use the monkey's fist for?
Throwing. It's like a throwing knot. So you kind of swing it around and then launch it into trees, and then it comes down. And you tie other ropes to it.
You can also kill a bird or a monkey with it.
Yeah, I think that's where it originated from.
Yeah, monkeys would rip their own arm off and throw it at people.
Yeah. Just punching people from afar.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Anyway, give me a call sometime, either on your podcast or not on your podcast.
Well, hey, we're really trying to get this thing going because we have the technology. I bought a microphone. We've literally set up, we built a studio in the house.
That's great. I would participate and you can like, you know, we can have feedback. We can fine tune our conversations a bit. I don't know how this all works, but
yeah. We're just chatting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zach's hot boxing the tent. With his gas.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I just cut one. I've been holding it in the whole time, though, buddy. I'll tell you, I saved it for you for the very end.
Thanks.
It's vicious, very though, the like smell. The smell is like rotten cabbage.
We're not going to have chili for a while.
Yeah.
Once the chili's gone, we're not making it again for a while.
Yeah, just leave it alone.
Yeah. I got so many cans of beans in this house. I got one can of beans. It's like an apple juice can. You know the big cans of apple juice?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that full of beans.
A 1 liter can?
Yeah, of beans.
And we've had it for like 5 years. Like, we've had it since we went to South Carolina.
Yeah, we should open it this year.
We need to.
It's freaking COVID 2020.
Yeah, all the things that have moved to us to three houses need to get eaten.
Yeah, you should have started with those things.
Yeah, that can of beans will last us a weekend, no problem.
What did we eat? Oh, we ate the gluten-free pasta.
Gluten-free pasta.
We've also had that for a couple of years. It was with us on Bagot Street in Guelph, and then it moved to our farmhouse, and now it's moved to our new house, and it was nasty.
The first night it was fine, but then the second day when you reheated it, it tasted like soap. To me, it tasted just like soap.
It was so bad. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad we got that out of the way early, because if it was week 30 and I was eating that, I'd be like, I hate this so much.
Now we just have that beautiful.
That's when people start to snap, right?
Now we got that wheat pasta, baby. We got all that wheat pasta.
Yeah.
That primo. Got that primo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, dude, it's been good talking to you, and we will call you back sometime on or off the air. Who knows? But
good chat.
Take care, man. And if things in Guelph go sideways, let us know. Just by text or something. Send me a letter back and I'll quarantine it.
Yeah, I'll wash my hands like crazy before I even touch it.
Please do.
But yeah, the chain of getting it from me to you. So you'll know what's in the envelope is clean.
Don't you lick that thing either. Don't you lick that envelope.
Could you put it in a Ziploc bag inside the envelope? And then when you get it,
way ahead of you, I'm gonna put it in a plastic bag.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you rip open the envelope and burn it right away.
Burn the envelope.
And then you can take out the letter
with tongs.
Yeah, and discard the Ziploc bag.
In an apron.
In an apron with a mask.
And you spray it with Lysol.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy. Good talking to you, my friend.
Hey guys.
Yep. I love you.
Chat. See ya.
Bye, Jeremy.
You too.
He didn't say I love you back. He just said you too. Jeremy. No, he loves us.
That was great.
What a good call. Good guy. He's got the Guelph advantage, which is things to do that aren't indoors or drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. I feel like I'm instantly happier.
Having talked to him?
Just talking to him. Yeah. It was a huge mood booster.
Yeah. Should we talk about the mural a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
What is it?
I don't know. I think you had the idea about like putting up some sort of symbol of hope for our neighborhood and our community.
Yeah, and it sounds silly at the moment. Like, 'cause that's what I said to you, like a symbol of hope. And then I kind of rolled my own eyes at my own thing. But it's like, you know, I just think about like murals and how simple it is to put one up. And we already have, like vagrant fence posts up in our yard anyway. Mm-hmm. So if we stick some big plywood sheets on there and then paint something, and maybe it's maybe that's a week from now, when things get go a little more sour.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause right now, I don't know. My feeling is, people are okay right now.
Yeah.
And maybe this is something that will be more impactful. I don't know. Do we want to wait? I guess we just wait and we feel it out once we have the right design.
Yeah. I think waiting a little bit for sure. People still seem to be coping fairly well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I haven't really talked to that many people who are locked in their house with their kids.
Yeah, they're having a hard time. Well, they are for sure.
Well, one friend of ours who lives in a small apartment with their toddler.
We'll have to call her.
And her husband. Yeah, we'll have to call her and check in. She said that's hard. But they're going for drives and trying to get out and make the best of it. But
yep. Okay, well, till next time.
Yeah, this is great. Bye.